Amen. Matthew chapter 6. When I was thinking about how we did that, and praise God, two souls saved today. Amen. One came forth for baptism. We're going to be having baptism tonight. Had a couple said, Brother Terry, we can't get out of our driveway, and they live out of town. They wanted to come in. I said, that's okay. We're going, as soon as you hit town, we'll have baptism. Amen. And then this song, you know how we got up and down on it and everything? How many remember? And rah. Okay, my tongue got over my eye tooth and I couldn't see what I was saying. Let's try this again. How remember? Oh my goodness. Boy, 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 Cinderella, Cinderella, girl, girl. Okay, here, let's try it again. How many remember the song, Stand Up and Shout It If You Love My Jesus? How many remember that? And you always was going up and down. And then you went, sit down and whisper if you love my Jesus. I tell you, we ought to do this, but I'm afraid how many people wouldn't be able to get up and down in time. Yes, sir. Hey, we're going to continue thought, trying to finish it up tonight quickly about what we were studying, prayer, daily prayer, and how God answers it. And we was reading from the book of Matthew chapter 6 let's start in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, for what shall you put on? That does my wife some good. I just don't know what to wear. I don't know. The house is full of it. Just grab something. It's not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not yet better than they? Father, now open our hearts and let us glean from these words of yours things we need in our life. Lord, already this past week we've seen this study come very much alive to us in our daily walk with you. Be with our many unspoken prayer requests and our many spoken. Lord, work, do your work. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Last week, we discussed with point number one that we all have daily needs. And all these daily needs we have are heavy and very great needs, and that they come suddenly upon us. They're pressing needs. And that's so true. I find myself in the emergency room many times with loved ones just out of the clear blue sky. That's why they call it the emergency room. Amen. If you have anything wrong with you, go get ready to spend hours in the emergency room. And I'm talking about in the lobby waiting to get to the back. Amen. But you know, God knows our daily needs. They might not be needs of us personally, but those that are very much around us and that rely upon us. We talked about that. Number two, we saw the Heavenly Father knows all about our daily needs. Remember the example of Israel that we met last Sunday night? How they had no need of clothing, amen, because they did not wear out. They had no need of bread because God supplied it every day of the week. Say, well, not on the Sabbath. He did too. He did it on the sixth. Amen. He double portioned it for the Sabbath. He gave them meat when they desired meat to get stuck in their teeth. And I'm sure if they needed it, he provided the toothpicks to follow. Amen. Their shoes didn't wear out. The watering holes didn't dry up. God took care of them. There's another example to prove that God knows about our daily needs. I think about in the book of 1 Kings. Would you join me, please, in the book of 1 Kings? And we want to run through these examples quickly tonight, but I want you to have food for you being here. Amen. I don't want you to go out of here and say, man, I went to church and I didn't get anything. Oh, no, no, no. We go to church, we're going to get something. Amen. Amen. If you don't, you're falling asleep on me again. God knew the need of Elijah. The Bible tells us in chapter 17 of 1 Kings, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain up these years, but according to my word. Now he put a curse on the land. You know what? I feel like America's got a curse on its land. I don't know the way you feel, but I really do. And I'm not just saying it. Folks, we got problems. And the reason we got problems is because we got a land full of people that have turned their back on God. The surest way of taking care of this is get our eyes back on the Lord. You say, well, what about individual states? I tell you what, we've got a state that has okayed liquor by the drink, that has okayed alcohol to the point where it's caused itself, this state, trouble with the drunks we have. We have a state that's brought in gambling, which now is defiling the home, and they're getting hooked on this gambling. We went down 81 into Kansas this past week, Brother RJ and I, and there's the Kansas Star. I thought the Kansas Star was a newspaper, but it's not. It's a gambling house. And coming out of the gambling house, they have the stinking audacity to say, do you have gambling trouble? Call 1-800 and such and such. You know how to take care of gambling trouble? Shut down the gambling houses. You want to know how to take care of the drunkenness in our town? Shut down the beer joints. Well, they're social gatherings. No, they're the same as they are. They've been night haunts for the devil. I used to laugh at a guy. He said, boy, the girls are in there so pretty. It's dark, and they wear this shiny stuff. He says, then you hook up with him, you go outside in the real light, and go, ah! I said, yeah, but they think about a guy. It's so dark in there. They think they're getting a good-looking guy. They go out and go, ah! This really happened. This is a true story. Well, anyway, God knew the need of Elijah. He knew what was going to be on the land. He said, and the word came to the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, now talking about Elijah, get thee hence and return eastward and hide thyself by the brook Kereth. That is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from the brook. You say, boy, I would never eat bread and flesh brought by a raven. If he's hungry enough, you'd do it. When God said he'd feed him, I don't care who the messenger is. I thank God for what the message is bringing her. Amen? Some people don't like meat, and somebody will come over and give you a piece of meat. Well, I don't like that meat. Okay. Tell them you don't like it. Tell them to come to 2237 West Elm. Well, it's unclean. That's okay. I got a charcoal, and it'll make it clean. We'll put fire on it and purify it. Amen? Man, I've cooked raccoon on my charcoal. Everybody says, raccoon, that's nasty. You don't know. You never had it. With a little bit of barbecue sauce and charcoal, anything tastes good. Amen? It is brought by the hand of God, daily need. You say, well, the water dried up and the ravens quit coming. The ravens didn't quit coming until God had another plan for Elijah. The water didn't dry up until God was ready to move Elijah. Amen? God always supplies. The Bible says God knew the widow's need and supplied it through Elijah. The Bible says in verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and go to the Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon. Dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he rose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. Now, let me tell you something. She knew who this man was. She knew who he served. She knew the honor that was due him. And she says, you know, as the God, Lord that you serve, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a curse. A cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Man, she knew the hardships of life. She knew the reality of life. She saw the provisions that she had left in her own eyes, Brother RJ. All she could see was the provisions that she had. She said, man, I'm not even going to make a very big cake here. But what I have, my son and I are going to eat it. And then we're going to die. But yet, there's a Lord that looks down and knows how to take care. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, when all things look so bleak, quit looking through your eyes and start living by faith. Amen. Because the just shall live by faith. The Bible says this. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me first thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make thee for thee and thy son. You know the faith she had to have here? It's like, dude, do you think I don't know what I have in my pantry? Come on. I know what's on my shelves. I've been cooking for years. I know how much material I have, and I will make a little cake, not even enough for my son and I, and you want me to give you this little cake? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Let me tell you something. Little is much when God is in it. This is another example that we need to give our all to God. Not withhold anybody. I don't have much. You don't have to have much for God to do great things with it. Amen. I can give you story after story on that. But I won't. He says, for thus the Lord of God Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. My friends, Elijah believed God. He didn't always believe him. Granted, I can show you examples. But he believed God. Let me tell you what kind of man Elijah was. Elijah was a man that had his problems. But I'll tell you what, he was sort of like old Enoch. He walked with God and was not, because God took him. Amen? Some people say, well, old fiery chariot came down and he stepped in and went to glory. No fiery chariot did he ride. The fiery chariot separated and he went up in a whirlwind. Amen? Boy, I tell you, God brought him up. And she went and did according as the saying of Elijah, and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. My friends, it was the word of the Lord spoke by Elijah. Things are done through the word of God, spoke by mankind, yes, but it's through the word of God, amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You say that's for salvation. That's for everyday faith, my friend. That's faith in general. Faith to be saved and faith to live and the faith that we die by. Amen? Okay. God knew the need at Cana, and he supplied it in the book of John. In the book of John. Chapter 2. Christ's first recorded miracle. I want to stress that. Christ's first recorded miracle. The reason I say this, one thing about these glasses, they make you look intelligent if you hold them like this and you point around. I want to tell you, it don't help none. Still as dumb as I was. But let me tell you something. Something had happened before, because Mary, the mother of Jesus, when things went awry, she said, "Jesus, you need to do something." He said, "Time's not yet." So Mary ran to the servants and said, "I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to do something. So whatever he commands you to do, don't question it, just do it." Amen? So that tells me, Brother Trey, I'm not sure, but undoubtedly some things have happened before that. But this is the first recorded. Now, you can choose not to believe that. I don't care. It's not what I said scriptural or anything. It just, it appears. Amen? Here's what the Bible said in the book of John, chapter 2. He said, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said unto her, 'Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come.'" Now, he didn't speak to her in disrespect, okay? It sounds a little disrespectful. No, it wasn't disrespectful. He said, "His mother saith unto his servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, 'Fill the water pots with water,' and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, 'Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast,' and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that it was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, 'Every man at the beginning does set forth wine, and when man have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now.' And he says, 'And the beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him.'" My friends, God supplied a need. God supplied a need. It had to be according to his word. If they would have brought in a half a pitcher, it wouldn't have worked. He said, "I want you to fill it up to the brim." And I want to say this. This wine he's talking about, the wines of the Bible, you got to understand the English language is a living language. It changes. What is wine, the correct wine of the Bible? What would we call it today? Grape juice. But we think of today as wine as that which moves itself aright. It's got a yeast. It's got infection in it. I'm just going to say it's got poison in it. Amen. It's made it to sour. Amen. It's made it to rot. My wife and I, we got a sale on a bunch of grape juice when my boys were little, and they were in 10 cans. Man, we stuck them up there in the cabinet, literally forgot about them. Did. Man, they was way up there high. One day we came, and purple stuff was oozing everywhere. You know what happened to that grape juice? It wasn't pure grape juice. It had some junk in it. And it began to move itself awry. And to the point where it broke through the can. Amen? And we were picking up purple for a long time. Of course, my wife in secret was going and popping the can. And no, she wasn't. No, she wasn't. We threw the stuff away. It was junk. He knew the need of the 5,000 and supplied it according to Matthew chapter 14. The disciple says, "Oh, the people are many. God, get rid of them. It's getting late in the day. Make them go back home or to the village." And he said, "Now, come on. They're here to hear about God. I'm not going to shoo them away." You know, a church ought to be the same way. We're not here to shoo people away. We're here to bring them in. Amen. We got the bread of life ready to feed them. We're ready to poke the living water down their gullets. Amen? And so we see that he fed them. You see, he knows all about your needs as well as my needs. Number three, the Lord is willing and ready to meet all of our daily needs according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. The Bible says, before we ask him, he says, your Father knows your need. He knows your need. Think upon the scripture in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Let's think about the scripture. Philippians chapter 4. Are you there yet? Let's go to chapter 4, verse 19. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice that word all. All your need. Well, Brother Terry, I need a brand new pick-me-up truck, and my wife needs a brand new car. No, you want. You don't need. Well, Brother Terry, I need about 30 acres and a big old house sitting in the middle of it, so I don't have to be around people. No, you want. You don't need. Well, Brother Terry, I need a job that's going to pay me $170,000 a year. You don't need it. You want it. You know, us people, we get our needs and our wants all screwed up. Every now and then, I'm not even going to go there because it's going to talk about food, and I don't want my niece to get on to me. I know she doesn't. But this is the only time I get to tease her a little bit. Okay? But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. We can look at the wonder of God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 through 28. How he cares for the animals. Aren't you glad you're not a coyote tonight? Amen? Aren't you glad you're not a fox? Aren't you glad you're not a birdie? I came across town this morning after getting gas. Not after I got gassed, but after I filled up my car. And right across the street from Old Days Ford House. How many remember Old Days Ford House? There was a line of pigeons sitting on a wire. Now, I don't know if they were stuck there or what, but nobody was moving. And I said, thank you, God, I'm not a pigeon, amen? Oh. But he watches after those animals. The Bible says a sparrow cannot even hit the ground that the Father doesn't know about it. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, that he can number the hair on our head. Some of it's easier than others. Amen. I think about trying to number the hairs on my wife's head. Oh my goodness. That girl's got hair. Oh, we're going to get her giggling. That thing's thick. And then there's us. And then there's us. One of these days I'll become rich and I can get one of those Hollywood plugs jobs done on my head. I want to tell you something. That looks too painful. Why do that? Amen. I'll go get me my wig. Amen. In the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 9 and 10, he says, with God there is no want. Let me ask you, what is your need at this moment? What need do you have at this moment? Everybody has a need. What is your need this moment? Now, it's not going to be the same for everybody, but I want to tell you something. Whatever your need is, the Lord is ready, he's waiting, and he's wanting to meet your need if you'll only bring it to him. He's ready for it. Luke chapter 11, verse 9, ask, and it shall be given you. Ask, and it shall be given you. The Lord supplies our need, but it's on the grounds of asking. In the book of James, turn with me quickly. The book of James, chapter 4, verse 2. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Those seven words that are so true. Ye have not because ye ask not. Well, I just don't get anything that I'm asking for. It's probably because you're not asking for it in the right manner. When I was a little boy, there are some things I asked for. I didn't get it because I wasn't a good young boy. Amen? There's things that I thought I needed, but I didn't get them. Not because I couldn't have them, just because I had a bad attitude. Amen? How many understand? But when things are right, it's a lot easier. Amen? I see these little kids running around these department stores and screaming and hollering when mama won't buy them something. Daddy won't buy them something. Boy, they get on that ground and they kick and they holler. And boy, I tell you, oh man, bless their hearts. I want to just go, and usually they're on their tummies. Praise God, the right ends up. Amen? I just want to go and kneel down and encourage them. Get up, young man. Get up, young lady. You do this again, we're going to have some serious trouble. How many's ever felt that way? Say, oh, child abuse. I tell you, the children are being abused because they're not getting corrected today. Oh, my. These little snot-nosed, ungodly, unthankful, unholy kids are going to be parents one of these days. Oh, can you imagine? Ow. Son, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. Lord knows exactly what we need. The Lord gives us usually over and above what we actually need. Our God is a liberal God. He's not liberal in the wrong sense. He's liberal in the right sense. I believe in being conservative, but sometimes people are too conservative. Amen. I'm talking about their love for God. I'm talking about their work for the Lord. I'm talking about their giving to the Lord. Amen. I believe we ought to be as straight and as conservative as this old book, but in our actions, we ought to be very liberal. Liberal to give to the Lord, liberal to give the Word of God out to people that don't know Jesus. But our God is liberal. He is bountiful. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, this is my last verse. Let's turn to it. Ephesians chapter 3. Did I say this is my last verse? I meant it. Sometimes I mean it, but I don't. It says in verse 20. Oh, Paul knows what he's talking about. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. My friends, when you work with God, it's exceedingly, it's abundantly. When He pardoned us from our sin, is with exceedingly and abundantly pardon us. Amen? When He gives us our heart's desire, it's usually exceedingly. One time I wanted an old pickup. And we came by this old pickup. I'm not kidding you. You could have thrown a cat through any part of that truck. Randy was there, and we was riding along, and I said, you know, I want an old pickup. And I said, I don't mind if it looks just like that. They looked at me and said, you're crazy. I said, man, look, it's running. Well, it won't hold anything. I don't know. It looks like a pickup to me, you know. That's all I want. I don't want anything any better than that. A few weeks later, I got a pickup that was a lot nicer than that. It still runs. I don't like driving it because it costs too much money to put gas in it. You know what I mean? And boy, does it run on super. You put super in it, I'm telling you, you can be driving 40 miles an hour and hit the floorboard and it will squeak the tires. Well, it hasn't had super in it for a long time. About the first three tanks, we had super in it. And that, after that, we went down to the watered-down version. Amen. And now when I hit the accelerator, it coughs as much as I do. It does worse than that. It coughs as much as Barbara does. But God gave me better than what I ever wanted. Does He you? Does He give you better than you deserve? Oh, you know why? Because that's just the way He is. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around. We serve a great God. He's a wonderful God.